This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU, and I'm Mark Haney. And people with disabilities may find it tougher to get a job, set themselves up with housing, and fit into a community. And programs like Living Arrangements for the Developmentally Disabled are designed to help with those needs, allowing individuals to live the lives they want without their disabilities becoming an issue. And here to talk about disability inclusion in the workplace and beyond are Executive Director of LAD, Susan Brown-Knight, Senior Inclusion Advisor for the Cincinnati USA Regional Chamber, Mary Stegeman, and Manager of Consumer Neuroscience at the Nielsen Company, Megan Belden. And you can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Megan, Mary, and Susan, thank you for joining me this afternoon.
You are welcome.
Pleased to be here.
When we talk about disability inclusion, Megan, what does disability inclusion mean exactly?
So disability inclusion really means making sure that everyone has an equal opportunity to perform at their peak at work. And so I help co-lead an employee resource group for people with disabilities at Nielsen. I have a disability myself, and so it's something that we're constantly working on and striving for internally, but also here in the region in Cincinnati.
Susan, how do you get to this level of disability inclusion? This is more than just an attitude. It's actually putting your attitude into action, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, this really is the next step as we talk about and evolve in our thinking around disability. We're with one in about 50 boys born on the autism spectrum. This is not a question of if we decide to further opportunities and, honestly, equal rights for people with disabilities. It's a matter of when. And I think it's so exciting to be able to partner with the Chamber on this initiative, because we can either decide to be ahead of the curve or let it happen. And under Mary's leadership, we really are moving forward and, as a region, choosing to be ahead of the curve. So I don't know, we were so excited to be able to partner with the Chamber and talk about and be selected for this pilot. We are one of three cities in the country selected as a pilot to further disability inclusion for small businesses. So that's something that LAD is really taking seriously and trying to move forward in this region in particular.
Mary, tell me about this pilot program.
I will, Mark. And first, I have to say that I'm learning so much from working with Susan and with Megan and others about this particular area of inclusion, which is, for people who have been working in this space for a really long time, still sort of the holy grail. I was just amazed to find out how many people with disabilities are unemployed, even though they are not unemployable. And so one of the things that we're looking at the Chamber on our new strategic plan is, how do we build the most diverse and inclusive workforce possible for our region? And with everyone chasing after young professionals, we need to be smart about finding new pools to fish in and to look for new opportunities to tap talent wherever it is. And so we're looking at previously untapped resources, and we believe that the community of people with disabilities represents a phenomenal untapped resource of talent that can help to fill open jobs in companies throughout the region. So the pilot program is something that was offered by the Office of Disability Employment Policy at the Department of Labor. It's about a 9-month program that we're participating in. It brings technical assistance and expertise to us out of Washington, a little bit of cash too, which is great, but more important, that technical support to help us work as a business-facing organization to bring together people in our community who work with people with disabilities and the small businesses who are our members, and say, how can we work together to employ more people with disabilities, to integrate them into our workplaces? And there are lots of great reasons why we would want to do that.
And Mary, when we're talking about disabilities, we're talking about the entire range of individuals with disabilities, right?
That's exactly right, Mark.
I think that
And I'll speak for myself, but I think that many people, when they hear the term disability, immediately tend to think of people who have an intellectual impairment or a cognitive disability or a learning disorder, and they forget that there are people who are hard of hearing or deaf, people who are blind or visually impaired, people who use a wheelchair for mobility or other physical supports. It's really the full range change. And not every employment situation is right for everyone, just as it isn't with all of us. So it's about making the matches appropriate to the jobs that are available.
And Susan, you were talking earlier about how this is Cincinnati taking the lead on something, getting out in front of this. How do you think as a whole Cincinnati's been doing up to this point when it comes to being inclusive for those with disabilities?
I'm so glad you asked that. I think we are in a really exciting place as a region. The message, the conversation has been people have welcomed it. I think people are ready for it here. People are excited to participate. The questions are really, what are the steps I need to take? What are the resources out there? How do I make this happen? But between, you know, LAD certainly is leading the way with the Real Abilities Film Festival, which is our nation's largest festival celebrating the stories, lives, and art of people who experience disability and difference. And quite frankly, how the community has embraced that festival. It's grown 500% in 3 years is a testimony to what this region is capable of doing. I think the other thing that's so exciting, on a legislative level, we've certainly led the way. The co-author of the ABLE Act, which was precedent-setting legislation for people with disabilities, allowing them to have a savings account. Chip Gerhart, a local business owner and advocate, co-authored that, led the way, and is now doing that for the Able to Work Act. And now we've been selected as one of three pilots in the nation. So I really think we are setting the stage for something very exciting in our region.
And I would add to that, Mark, that when the announcement came out that we had become a pilot site, we were overwhelmed, really, by the number of emails and phone calls that came our way from people who are been working on this issue, who are concerned about it and want to get involved and get invested. We need to hear from more small businesses who are interested in taking the first step toward inclusion by simply being willing to learn more about what we're doing on this project.
Mm-hmm. Megan, some of the big challenges you think to encouraging businesses to realize that talent is out there and to give people a chance?
Great question. I think a lot of it is the matching process, as Mary mentioned. That can be quite challenging. I think there's still a lot of stigma about what types of roles or opportunities might be available or appropriate for people with disabilities. And really, a lot of it's just awareness and education. So a lot of people don't know that people with disabilities tend to have much better rates in terms of turnover and stay with employers for longer, which results in a lot of cost savings, or that, you know, productivity levels tend to be higher. There's a lot of statistics and benefits that a lot of, I think, especially small businesses may not be aware of. And so at Nielsen and at companies like P&G and Fifth Third, where we have pretty active employee resource groups and prominent members in the business community with disabilities, we're kind of trying to lead the way in terms of educating people on some of the data and statistics, but also helping them to see some examples of people who are quite successful in their careers and have really made an impact. So I think it's just kind of expanding people's ideas for what diversity means and is.
To Megan's point, too, we were just invited by Congressman Chabot to come testify before the Small Business Committee on these issues. And a local, I will be joining a local small business owner, Contemporary Coventry East, who made the decision to hire somebody with a disability to do meaningful work at their place of business. And they have 70 employees. It's a very successful small business. But everything Megan said is what in the last 18 months Contemporary Coventry East has experienced and is going to Washington, D.C. to testify about. We're talking about higher retention, not just for the people with the disabilities. And as an employer myself of people with disabilities, I also see that. But it's also people who have the opportunity to work with others from a diverse background and have that meaningful experience. So it increases retention, increases employee productivity. It lowers training costs over time. So again, with the increased retention, it lowers training costs. And there is significant research that backs this up. So in the Department of Labor survey of over 1,000 employers of people with disabilities, 86% said, in fact, that choice to hire increased retention. And as an employer myself, I can speak to that as well, that is the case.
So there have been
I think an
Go ahead, Megan.
I think an important thing also to note is that the whole point of this is that it's not just like the right thing to do or something that would be nice to do, but it does make business sense. And 87% of the public prefer to give their business to companies that hire people with disabilities. And so if you think about brand trust and favorability for small businesses, it just makes good business sense.
And Megan, you have some sense too, don't you, about what the size of the market is for people with disabilities?
Yes. So more than one in four households actually have a member that identifies with a disability. And so it's quite prevalent of a population. And I think that a lot of companies are starting to realize that if they have that representation in their company, you know, people with disabilities are extremely underrepresented in innovation and marketing strategies that are designed to reach and retain consumers. So the more that they can increase their representation and better understand that market, again, the business reason is there.
So just to underscore what both Susan and Megan said, I think that we always like to think about all the inclusion work we do, and I think it applies here as much as it does anywhere else, is not just the right thing to do. It is the smart thing to do for business.
Do we know how much I'm getting a sense from what you're saying and what Megan is saying about the economic impact that this has? Do we have any idea how much this would affect the economy?
Megan, can you put a quantifier on it?
I can. So consumers with disabilities in the U.S. represent a $1 billion market segment. And if you consider their families, friends, and associates, they represent a trillion market segment. So quite a huge population.
And I think just, again, the short term, this is just a little snapshot, but the short term success of just something as simple as a film festival and showing the people that are willing to buy tickets turn out. People are interested in seeing themselves and their loved ones and their stories told. They're interested in seeing themselves and their loved ones when they walk into a business and when they participate in the economy. So it's something that resonates very, very deeply, I think, with the consumer base.
Well, and just to follow on what Megan said about the size of the market already. Obviously, if we were able to gainfully employ more people with disabilities, their consumer spending power would increase. So everybody wins in that scenario.
How committed is the chamber?
We have some data on that consumers with disabilities are actually quite loyal as well. So at Nielsen, we've started to collect some data on people with disabilities to make this available to our clients who are interested in understanding this consumer segment more deeply. And they actually spend more per shopping trip than the average consumer, and they shop more often. So if you think about just something as simple as consumer products, as they become more employed, spending power is definitely very prominent.
And Mary, how committed is the chamber to this?
We're all in. We are all in. As a part of our strategic plan, which we launched at the end of last year, we have three pillars: be a bold voice for business, grow and retain a top talent pool for our region, and make sure that we're telling the story of our region most effectively. But those pillars are supported by the idea that we will model inclusion in everything we do. And so we were a critical actor in receiving this pilot. They wanted a business-facing organization. No disrespect to my present company, but not the usual
None
suspects. So actually, the other sites are a retail association for the whole state of South Dakota and then an entrepreneurial organization in D.C. We're the only chamber in the country that stepped up and received the opportunity to run a pilot. And we're committed not just to successfully achieving the government's expectations of us in this year, but to continue to work on inclusion of people with disabilities for the long haul.
Well, and then the other thing I think that shows the commitment is that they have moved you into the position of senior inclusion.
Well, yeah, they're exactly right. They're pretty serious
about this.
They've given me a bigger platform on which to talk about inclusion, in which I'm very excited, and I think the community is as well from the response I've had about that.
So tell me a little bit more about the pilot program that you're involved in. What kind of activities will this involve, and where is it headed from here?
So there are three key components, and we're on kind of a tight timeline. The expectation is that we will have achieved these three by the end of October of this year. We're sweating a little bit about that because it's a pretty quick turnaround, but we're excited about it as well. The first is that we're creating an advisory council of leaders in the community who can help to shape this discussion. We don't pretend at the chamber to be experts in this topic, but we are adept at bringing experts to the table and keeping them there until we build solutions together. And so we'll be forming that advisory council and asking them to help us figure out the best way to approach this challenge. We are particularly interested in hearing from small business leaders who might want to be a part of that. The second phase will be a period of learning. You know, one of the things that prevents people from working in this direction is simply just a lack of familiarity and probably a little bit of fear about the unknown. And so we want people to start to develop a comfort level in engaging with people with disabilities. So we'll be doing some webinars and maybe a full afternoon workshop that will happen later this year that will help people understand the opportunities that exist, but also the really nuts and bolts of how do you do good inclusion and how do you do accommodation so that people can be fully integrated into a business. And then finally, in October, which is National Disability Employment Employment Awareness Month, we will do a job shadowing program with a cohort of people with disabilities in our community and as many small businesses who are interested in being engaged to introduce them to each other and start a more vibrant conversation about how these people with disabilities can be integrated into those businesses.
So, Megan, what would be the first step you would advise a company to take to start successfully integrating with people with disabilities into their workforce?
That's a good question, and I will be helping to advise the Chamber on this discussion as we continue on this journey. And I think really the first thing is the education and awareness. The second is that there's a lot of resources in terms of recruiting and just even local places like LAD, for example, that can help source some of the top talent that a lot of these organizations should be looking for. And so really just getting everyone connected with the right resources, I think, is the most important thing because their traditional pools of recruiting may not be reaching this target group that we're looking to employ.
And to echo Megan's point, these are free resources. So there is a whole network of agencies locally in Greater Cincinnati. And the Chamber's got some of those resources available to, so I think they are a great point of contact to understand who to call and where to start. But these are free resources. So once you reach out to an agency and they provide a pool of candidates, on top of that, there is free job coaching. You also have the opportunity to have somebody shadowed so that if there are challenges or issues, you have somebody working with you to ensure that that person is good to go. So anyway, there are just so many different ways that you can actually have an impact. It's a really exciting time.
Well, thank you for joining me today. Executive Director of LAD, Susan Brown Knight, Senior Inclusion Advisor for the Cincinnati USA Regional Chamber, Mary Stegeman, and Manager of Consumer Neuroscience at Nielsen Company, Megan Belden.